I've only got two, so. So
yeah, and we, hey, man, the sun-dry thing, though, man, that became
those hand jobs meant nothing to you.
I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
All right, and we're rolling. We're rolling with the Smoke Screen Podcast, episode 42. I'm your co-host, Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
I'm your co-host, Dr. Fauci.
Damn. No.
Buffalo Bill Cody.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say, are we all going to name? Because we have a special guest, Doc. Doc Holliday, longtime supporter and producer. Oh, yeah, the clap. We've never given a clap. Our first in, I want to say in studio, but it's really next to your bedroom. In studio host.
This is a damn studio. Host.
Our first studio guest, that is. And, yeah, we're just going to talk, man. We're just going to talk about the old days and memory lane, I think is what we're kind of leaning towards. And I think people left questions on Discord and Patreon.
We got a couple questions. So to add to what I was going to ask you guys, too, is we kind of take a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, so we're talking about, I guess, the YouTube journey.
Yeah.
Personal stuff. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Like how Doc stumbled upon you.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear that myself, actually. Right. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. You're
okay. No, I was just going to say, man, it's weird. We, you know, knew who Doc was for the longest time, and then we went to that first Con of Thrones, and he walked up, introduced himself, and we've pretty much stayed in contact ever since then. I mean, as much as I stay in contact with anybody, I stay in contact with Doc.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. You should see the notifications on his phone. I can't understand how you have like 1,037 missed calls.
Let me just see. I love checking everything again because I never really look.
But yes, really appreciate you, Doc, man. Longtime supporter, not just monetarily, but just overall moderator in YouTube days when, you know, we had busy live streams every Sunday. Yes. And still on Twitch and stuff to this day, although we just have our moderators on Twitch most of the time.
I only have 65 missed texts and 493 missed calls.
Oh, see, that makes my skin crawl. Don't turn it away.
Five pending updates.
Oh, God. He's probably on iOS 3. And there's 14.
Why is his phone slow?
Exactly.
But, yeah, I want to thank you guys both for letting me participate in this and be the first in-studio guest
Man.
In the new podcast room. It's pretty exciting.
It's coming together.
We've talked about this for a long time, and to be here actually doing it is exciting, and I appreciate both of you allowing me to share some time with you.
Yeah, man, it's really cool, man. Doc made all this happen, by the way, or had most of it.
Yes, sir.
I mean, was the couple pieces of good equipment we have, he saw behind the scenes here. We had to scramble another microphone together and tape it and shit.
Yeah.
We got fishing line up to the ceiling to get it to stay there. So he can't move. Like he's glued.
Frozen.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It can't lean back and relax.
He's helped make all this happen, and then he comes over here and gets the Goodwill shit.
I know. I'm sorry. Here, man, I feel bad. Just thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah, we remember talking about this. We started the podcast, and then we're like just doing the audio in the living room, moving shit around. Oh my God. And then we started in our room, my room, right? I believe.
Yeah, we did.
And we're like, we gotta add video.
Yep.
And so the point is we talked about this for a year and something now, getting in here and then getting the stuff set up so we can just sit down as opposed to like what we did tonight. Yeah.
And it was really amazing to me last year coming down here to Protocon and seeing Chris's old house and the living room and recognizing the walls and stuff and where you guys sat. For those of you, I mean, it was small. When he said it was small, he was not lying.
Thought we were exaggerating.
I always said it. Look, I live in a cracker box.
Yeah.
And it's literally got saltines written down the side and, you know, in stencil.
We would have ottomans and chairs pushed as far back as we could and flipped on their side and everything just to make that happen. And that's how we would have to watch Game of Thrones, Doc.
Yes, right. Because the
with all that shit jammed up there.
That was the most uncomfortable thing to really be in the moment and enjoy it, because we were, all right, we got a before, like an hour before the show.
Yep.
We got to slide tables around, carry them from the kitchen, move stools and push all that shit over and jam it in the corner. And then we got to watch the show kind of like...
We already had the lighting
taking notes,
umbrellas up everywhere.
You had to have it ready so we could just click on right after the show, because we wanted to replace that after show back in the day when everything was popping.
It was so worth it.
Oh, absolutely. But it was just... But
like he said, walking into there, I'd like to know what I bet that was like.
We had Kyle stop by a couple years ago. I bet he was like, This is it. Right. I mean, not that I had the best backgrounds or anything. Not that I had the best setup by any means. Right. But,
and what he doesn't even know is that table, that kitchen table, we had wars with it.
Oh, my God.
We had to rebuild that thing three times.
Yeah. We had to keep replacing brackets. And
the thing was like...
It was so bad. Yeah. So bad.
Because you guys had the pictures of John and Daenerys behind you.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw them still, you know, on the walls there when I visited. And I'm like... Man, this looks a lot bigger on camera watching it on the other side than it is.
And you saw the little bit of stuff just in here tonight. We're like getting this thing set up because it's temporary. And, you know, we still hadn't decided where to mount the mics permanently.
Right.
And I got wires hanging over my lap. So we're still got a long way to go, but we're in the space now.
Right.
So it was a long way. But, yeah, those are good old times. I miss the when everything was good on YouTube and all that stuff, too. But it was fun because, man, we had a hell of an after show.
Right. We did.
We destroyed their shitty after show on HBO because we hated. That's the only thing I don't know. It was like 8-9 months before season 7.
Yep.
And we were like, man, that after show sucks. We got to do one. We just got to start going live. And we just started going before then.
And then
kind of established that slot or whatever.
Yeah. It was really fun because how I was coming out of a bad spot, I had no idea that, you know, you were kind of feeling, you know, a certain way too. And then here we are, two dads, and there was one point all of our kids were living there with us. Riddick. And you know, it was good times, man. It was an active house, and you know, a lot of craziness, especially when you got around Sunday nights and the season started getting closer and stuff. And Then when we would log on, our extended family would be right there. All those names that we saw every week, you know, it was like, oh,
we were
just talking about
before we started, like the first time meeting Doc at, you know, kind of Thrones the first year and everybody else, you don't know. You know, you just see little avatars and you can't match names and faces. And when they come up, they have to say, you know, I'm Johnny. No, I'm sorry. Who? Use your username. You got to use the YouTube username.
And poor Carol, she came down to the house and cooked for us.
She did.
And I think she was probably shocked at the Cracker Box it was, because she was like looking for pots and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, it was it was crazy to look back on that little place.
Yeah, it was
all the memories made there.
Shithole, but hey, it was a good shithole.
It was.
I got here, though. We got here. So I don't know. You got questions? I know we don't have to do everything in order or anything.
Right.
There's no rules here.
I got questions that I'm going to work in as I hit on some topics that I wanted to cover. I guess the first thing I wanted to do was kind of talk about how you started the channel in the very beginning. I know you came into Game of Thrones in the middle of season 5, episode 4, I believe, was the first video.
Episode 4 was the first one for
now,
Game of Thrones.
When did you hear about the show?
I had heard about it. I was working at Microsoft then, and I had heard about it. Just, like, I'd see little clips online or something, you know, and I knew there was, like, a blonde-haired chick with a dragon on her shoulder or something. And, I remember specifically, I think probably the Red Wedding happened and the internet broke, apparently, right? And I was like asking this dude named Mike at work, I'm like, what is this Game of Thrones shit, man? I mean, I've seen I don't know what it is. I've seen like pictures and stuff. Oh, God, you got to check this out, man. It's crazy. I mean, that was literally we went straight upstairs, popped on HBO. Luckily, it was a slow day. This was in Link Operations. Hey, everybody. Popped on HBO Go and started watching it. And I was like, oh, you know, next. Right. Next. Got home, continued, next, next. And then I think I've told this a couple of times over the years, but I started seeing some things I recognized, even though I hadn't seen the show. And then as I got in later into the books and all that kind of shit, I realized, wait a minute, I'd read one of these in college or sometime in that era. I'm assuming probably college or whatever. So at least the first book or something. But yeah, I had started the channel doing, God, my first video was a Batman v Superman stupid, like who would win? Because Superman,
look,
Batman can't win that fight. That was my whole point of the video.
I don't want to take too much credit for his channel. But I'm going to be honest with you. I really believe, now, something could have happened eventually, but honestly, he kept hounding me and everybody around him to watch this show because he wanted somebody to talk to about it.
Yeah.
Right. And if we would have all jumped in and started watching it and made it like a regular thing where we all, he may not have reached out to him because he felt
that
like,
true.
Look, I need people to talk to about this. He was so addicted to it that he made these videos to get the comments and start having these interactions with people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I had started watching YouTube at work. I was watching Michael Jordan clips. That's what I literally turned it on for. Just sitting there, slow days or whatever. You got a browser open. I was watching old Michael Jordan highlights. And then I saw, honestly, Emergency Awesome. Charlie from Emergency Awesome. He was doing Game of Thrones and whatever, every single comic show, whatever it was at the time. And he still does. And I was like, this dude's got like I think at the time he probably had 200,000 subscribers.
Now and his like, comment section was probably a gold mine for
and,
you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it, I mean, I'm thinking, damn, that's a lot of fucking people, man, following him. And if he can do it, I can do it type thing. So I started with the Batman stuff, be Superman, a movie, you know, Marvel and Star Wars and all that stuff, Walking Dead, and then Game of Thrones came along. And I made the first, and I was so interested in it, I started reading and all that stuff again. And
And his channel already existed.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's right.
You know, because he was like, fuck y'all. I mean, he told us this behind the scenes, you know, like, I'm going to talk to somebody about this.
right.
Exactly. So, yeah, man, I was like, you know, it was middle of season five. Because I'd started the channel in January of 2015, but didn't do anything for a while. And then started those couple videos, Star Wars and, you know, DC, whatever, because they had just announced Batman v Superman.
And yeah, I remember that.
And all that stuff. So then I was like, I did the first game. I said, I'll review this show, you know, and I did the first one. And like where Batman v Superman or a little Star Wars video got, you know, 100 views. I don't even remember what they were. Probably 50. Got 1,000. I was like, whoa. That's not just like Chad
remember those texts
and Eric
too.
And James
yep.
and my mom,
right?
You know, watching a video and clicking like. Right. There's 900 and something people out here that watch this shit. And
I was getting regular updates.
Look, full disclosure, everybody can go back and watch them. Please do. I mean, no, actually don't. They were horrible. I mean, I had no clue what the fuck I was doing.
I was leaning way back
and shit like this. I was all back here, like, you know, what's up, man? man, because I was, the whole thing, I've said it a million times to James, I know, but other people, the whole point, like he just said, was I wanted to make a digital campfire.
Yes.
And so I thought, well, if I'm just leaning back talking normally like I would to James or, you know, whoever, my family, whatever, sitting around a campfire, I'd be leaning back relaxed.
Right.
And then I didn't know about framing a shot. I didn't know about shit. I mean, I applied to film school and stuff, but I didn't think about that for YouTube, like on the same level. If that makes any sense,
right? Just focusing on one person for the whole time.
I mean, because it's so weird too. By the way, I don't know if anybody cares, but you buy this camera, you put it up, you go in the room and shut the door. I don't care if you're home alone or not. It's so fucking weird.
Right.
It's so weird looking like I'm trying to okay. I'm talking to people. People are going to be watching, so I need to pretend like I'm talking to people. It's still.
And he helped me create mine.
Right. And we're going to definitely get to that.
Well, this is the same time, but I'm saying when he sent me in that room the first time to do my first video, he probably left the room and was like laughing to himself because There was nobody in this room, and I'm looking at that camera he had set up, and why am I all panicky is what I kept thinking.
No, I completely got it. But
it feels so weird.
Completely got it. I did. I understood completely.
Yeah.
I could empathize because it's still weird. You just get used to it. That's all it is. Nothing really changes with a camera in your face.
Yeah, so I discovered your channel right around the end of season 5. The gap in between 5 and 6.
Okay? Right.
Right.
So I was fairly new to YouTube as well. I had previously watched like PewDiePie and some other stuff on YouTube and different things, people playing games and different things like that.
Right.
And back when recommendations were a thing,
yeah,
you know, you surf around and
we'll get to that too, I'm sure.
You surfed around and I stumbled on your channel. I stumbled on one of your videos. And I was like, oh, I've heard about this Game of Thrones stuff. You know, let me watch this video and whatever. And I thought it was really cool what you were doing. And then, of course, so then May of 2016, because I went back and looked.
Oh, shit. He may got the dates and stuff
May 4th, 2016, I believe, was the first pre-season, season 6 Q&A that you recorded with James.
Yes.
It was James's first appearance on the channel.
Yes.
And this was shortly after I had first discovered you.
Damn, 2016?
So you'd seen him by himself.
Right.
Then you go back and it's like, holy shit, he's got his big fat friend.
So wait, I'm curious though. When you started, I'm just curious from somebody else's perspective. When you saw this video, which video was it? Do you remember?
It must have been like one of the
final
episodes of season 5.
It had to be just
season,
a review. Just a review. I don't think theories early.
No, you hadn't gotten into theories or deep dive into a particular topic or whatever. You were just kind of reviewing the episodes.
Right.
So yeah, I just saw that. And I had just started getting into the show. Because I'm sure what I had done was I'd started watching the show. And then I had started seeing some stuff on YouTube about the show and then got a recommendation from your channel. Cause back then you would get recommendations for different channels, you know, and you would kind of hunt around and you would see some other creators, that were on, as well as yourself. So, and
that May 4th, I still do remember it well. Now he had helped me set my channel up, and what got me was the only reason I really wanted to help him, because I was kind of involved in that first episode happening, because he had built such a good following and he was so knowledgeable. And if you remember when we first started doing Q&As, he would snip out things, right?
Right.
Yeah, put them on the screen.
Right.
And I would be reading the ones we had it pre-set up like that.
And right.
I was also wanting to ask him questions on the fly to prove that, hey, this is not something where Chris sees the questions in advance
and then
goes and answers them. This dude knows his shit.
There was a couple people I don't know if it was friends of ours that would say, I like your Q&As, but it looks like you're editing it, so I don't really know if you know this.
There were comments like that.
There was a few.
And so I was like, we're going to prove this. And I wanted to help somehow. And obviously, because Doc has even made shirts about it, I had literally just started. My first episode I ever saw, John woke up from dying.
Right.
So I didn't even see him die.
Right.
So whatever time frame that is to when I was on there.
Yes.
And so when I said the infamous area war game question, and it's funny because he tried to answer it
right
with the word area in there as I pronounced it. And then I thought he gave a great answer. Now looking back,
because he said Bloodraven could be the only one who could area ward because they had to be within line of sight.
Answered the damn question.
It was a legitimate thought that people have. Right. And then I was like, wait a minute.
And then he's like, he stood up and was like, let me see what you're reading over there. And I love that he left it in. It was so awesome.
Yeah, it was just, it was, that's what, I don't cut shit out.
If you remember, he had been doing videos with Val prior to that.
Right.
So I was up again. I was getting slaughtered by some people in the comments after he dropped that first thing. We want Val back.
Right.
Who is this idiot reading this stuff? But there was so much love mixed in there with it, dude.
Right.
And I just, it was at the perfect time in my life where I kind of needed that kind of, you know, we think you're a nice guy, you know, kind of thing. Because I was beat down and kind of feeling like worthless a little bit. And man, hey, it ended up being really cool, and and it's been so good for my life. But that first one you're talking about,
I was already kind of over the camera stuff, and he was not tell, like,
oh yeah, he had the cheesy kind of smile looking at the camera during the whole time during the first episode. Right.
But that's one thing though. I'll say, first of all, I want to go back real quick about the show in general. I had to beg this dude because he was like, he was one of those dudes like, I don't like dragons and wizards and shit.
Yes,
I'm like, just trust me.
Yes.
Just, It ain't about dragons, you know. There's a little bit, but yeah.
It was on the heels of like the Lord of the Rings Harry Potter.
Yes, he was thinking magic-y, which became a word, obviously. And
honestly, I had never watched either. You know, we watched Lord of the Rings together. He let me watch some of that stuff too. And I've still never seen a Harry Potter, but when he like really, you know how you are with your friends sometimes. You're like, no, dude, I know you. You got to trust that I know you enough to trust me that you'll like it. And I was hooked immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I think one of the successes of you two being together and going through this process all the way through the end of the show was the fact that you had somebody who was really knowledgeable and experienced and knew a lot of the backstory and had somebody who was fairly new and was asking a lot of the questions that we were asking
at
home.
That's the way we played it.
That's a good thing.
That's the way we played it. Number, I also want to say,
he kept reassuring me that there was I had a value.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. No question about it. I was like, because he was the new guy.
Yeah.
And essentially what I was doing
that
was,
that got me a little teary-eyed saying that.
Everything I learned, I was like, all right, I'm basically, that's what I'm doing in videos anyway, you know, whether it was a theory or backstory or something, book related, whatever it was. And he doesn't know how valuable he was, especially when it got, you know, a little more popular and whatever, because I could bounce shit off of him who didn't have necessarily the book knowledge, but he could give me a perspective, just kind of common sense.
Right.
So we had so many talks that should have been, oh, God damn, they've been the greatest.
They'd have been the
ever
best ever. I know.
On the porch about stuff.
Right. Yep. Because I was literally asking questions, you know, kind of he had already put to bed.
But it also
got him
makes
going,
me
whole.
Yeah. It kind of opens back up. It's almost like, it's like in sports, right? One thing you never do, I don't know, I played ball all my life. Somebody can relate to some kind of sports. You never stop the fundamentals. And that's what he kind of kept there.
Yeah.
And so it was a strategic thing in the sense for the videos of like, you're playing the new guy that I'm talking to through there, through the camera.
Yeah.
Type thing. But the other thing was when we got comments like that, like James brought up earlier, we had a couple friends say it, and then there were comments and things. You're just editing out whatever. You're looking it up. I'm like, fuck you, we'll do it live.
I was waiting to
just
get
go
that
live.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because live stream was starting to be a
it
thing.
It was just brand new, man.
And YouTube really wanted you to live stream and whatever. And we're like, fuck it, let's just go live. They think I'm cutting shit out. I'm just cutting out long pauses or, you know, oh, I got a burp, you know, whatever. Yep. That's all it was. So anyway, that's how it all started. And it became a thing, and then it became a live thing, and you know, the rest is history.
And it was amazing to see those numbers.
Oh God.
Those sub counts grow.
Right.
And then, you know, because he had some successful videos, Star Wars videos, like got an ass load
for
of views.
Probably till I would say season 7. I'll take that back. Maybe a little earlier, because there's one video I think that kind of put me on the map as far as Game of Thrones or Ice and Fire. And that was talking about this alternate, not RLJ, but, you know, RLD, you know, whatever it was back in the day. So I did like a video explaining why it's not the case. And that kind of put me on the map. But for the longest time before that eventually blew up, it was a Star Wars History of the Sith video.
Yep.
It had 240,000 views, and I was ecstatic when it got to 100,000. I was like, I can't fucking believe this.
And
there's
and
no way.
He actually, because of that, he put so much time and awesome editing into History of the Jedi.
Absolutely. And two parts.
And it was amazing.
Two parts.
But it never got traction. It never like
did
that
shit.
One.
Never did shit. And I would update that with every new movie, with a new thumbnail, and change the title and stuff. We're still History of the Jedi, but, you know, include, like, I don't know, whatever the latest movies were, you know, The Last Jedi or whatever was current, to try to get it to, you know,
to get in that algorithm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And never did shit. And it was a two-parter, much longer than History of the Sith, obviously, because Sith spins off from that. Right. And it never did shit. But that's the way YouTube is. The things that you put on there, you fucking record with your camera phone, you put 10 seconds into, could blow up, and then one you spend, you know, 12 hours on or a whole day, don't do shit.
Yeah.
Okay, really so weird. A follow-up question, since we're talking about starting in the first few years of YouTube or whatever, Lauren Wagstaff asked, what was the biggest challenge you had when starting your YouTube channel?
Ooh.
And this may be different because you each had YouTube channels, but you had some experience.
Yeah.
You had Daily Useless Sports Trivia, mm-hmm. Okay?
Right.
And then you had Dust on the Throne.
Right.
And I wonder if those two, if there were two different challenges to each one of those channels, and then yours may have been completely different.
Yeah, well, mine is simply keep going, because I had left corporate America. I'm the type of guy who, over the years, I've started a lot of little small businesses, right? I mean, and some are successful and some are not. Some, like the last one, was I ran a dojo for 3 years before the economy crashed. So it's kind of not my fault, but you know what I'm saying. So I was always in that mindset. And then when I left Microsoft to do this, I'd taken this last contract at Wells Fargo or whatever for 6 months, mm-hmm. and I'm still in IT. But as I transitioned to YouTube, because it was growing a lot faster than I ever possibly imagined. But before that, as far as starting the channel, it was just like to keep going, because you get two views or 10 or something, and like, eh. Right. You know. And now back then, though, I will say you were monetized. So if you got 100 views, you might make 3 cents. So it's just like, is this worth it type of thing? And do people like it? But something was also like, you know, I'm seeing comments. They're not horrible. I'm seeing bad ones, but I'm mm-hmm. seeing good ones. I'm like, well, somebody... Like, that's why I was asking earlier, like, from your perspective or somebody else's, what made you, like, when you clicked on that video, what made you stay or watch another one?
Right.
Because, yeah. I mean, it certainly wasn't good for, you know, cinematography right. or anything like that. So, for me, it was just, like, keep going until, and then all of a sudden, you kind of, it gets a little easier. And that's kind of where I'm at right now, just me personally. The podcast I could do all day.
Yeah.
But me personally, on as far as, like, the one-off videos for, you know, whether it's The Witcher or Star Wars, Mandalorian, or just my own book videos or whatever I want to do, I just don't know. We've all had this discussion.
Yeah,
I just don't have a path right now. So it's just kind of the same thing. It's kind of come full circle. Because now I'm watching everything go backwards.
Right.
And it's fucking sucks. Right.
And what about you, James?
For me, I guess probably the biggest obstacle for me was... I'm the biggest obstacle in my channel. And there's just no doubt about it. But in the very beginning, I used to, you know, be married, and I'm not going to call my ex a nag, but you know, she already would have a problem if Chris and I, because we ran a poker league together,
right?
So we were already together every Friday. Late all the way into Saturday morning.
Right.
And then, oh, you want to go over there and learn how to make YouTube or record YouTube videos? You know, what's this new fantastic idea you got now? And,
right.
You know, so it was just getting the time to go over there. And see, in the beginning, he was encouraging me to do it. And I saw.
Yeah, I was just saying that, like, at the very least, it's a side hustle.
Yeah.
You know, at the very least.
I
and you, like, love the sports.
And I still do. Which is why I beat myself up about it. There are gaping holes in sports videos on YouTube.
Right.
I see holes there that I could fill with videos that just, they're just not there. And what happened as far as that goes, all right, so I kept that, and if you remember, he used to introduce me as James from Daily Use of Sports Streamer.
Yeah, and I fucked that up a few times.
Right?
And, changed
and he was really pumping my channel, and I could still go back now and see there's videos where the comments are like, hey, I came over here from Smokescreen, man. I really like this, because I wasn't getting a lot of views. I was getting like, you know, 1,000 views on this one boxing video I did. Well, then what happened, I started opening baseball cards. That was a big thing. That's right. Really where I should be right now. I mean, I have tons of unopened cards. People love them.
And he tried the gum.
Yes.
He tried the gum one time.
Chris could like take my videos and edit them really fast for me, right?
Right.
Well, that kind of builds up a crutch and, you know, a dependence. And I'm not, like, even when I was in college, like, online classes, I always sucked at. So, like, watching something video and then learning like that, I like hands-on with a, you know, an instructor. And, you know, things just got too busy for him to literally edit my videos for me. And I had this stupid mental block about learning to edit. How much editing is there in a fucking baseball card opening video? Right, you know what right. I mean?
Not
I've
much.
I've edited a few with his help. You know, I'd say, hey, man, come check this out. See what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'd always say, hey, man, edit.
So, I know I could do it, but there was some intimidation there. But for me, the biggest challenge in the very beginning was, you know, just making myself do it. And I'm my biggest enemy. I always am. Even in life as today, I will get something in my head. You know, this, you're such a failure. Oh my God. Well, one day turns into two turns into a week, and then a week turns into a month. And hold on, don't go watch your old video, because in that video, you promised these motherfuckers, I'm back. Right. I'm going to be doing right. more. I'm going to be doing more frequent videos. And you know, I'm in a good headspace now, and everything's going to be better. Da, da, da. And then I'd watch that, and I'd be like, oh my God, you're such a liar. You're so worthless. And, you know, it's just, for me, that was the weirdest thing. Right. And then when he helped me create the other channel, The Dust on the Throne, because, you know, I became a character in this weird world of I really found out, you know, when I went to that first Con of Thrones, when people like approached me. And when I would be alone, they recognized me, and I was like, well, shit, man. People like me, man. I need to do something here. So we did the Game of Thrones, the Dust on the Thrones thing, and things started growing pretty good, I thought. Because you get that first jump of people from his channel.
Right.
They're just
right.
going to do it because they like us, and they're right. going to go, boom. So I was given, like, this first little I could monetize quickly, because that was the
right. Yeah, it changed the rules.
They had just changed it.
Yeah, right. Know? To 4,000 watch hours and all that bullshit.
So I was able to, you know, have monetized videos pretty quickly out of the gate, and then, you know, just huge life change happened, and I put everything, not just YouTube, everything in my life on the back burner for this one thing. Like, if you could see a graph of my life, everything goes and just stopped.
Right.
So that's it. Just getting out of my own head is my biggest problem, because, as he said, getting over the, you know, being in the room talking to a camera and all that, I've gotten really comfortable with it. Even though I know I sound country and everything, like, none of that even bothers me. In the beginning, I was like worried about how I was pronouncing words. Now I'm just more comfortable here. So the only thing for me is just getting out of my own head.
Yeah.
Yeah, we recently had that conversation again about, because James is writing his memoir and I'm writing a book at the same time. And we had that conversation about finish it. Anyway, we won't get into all that, but we had this very similar conversation.
We really have.
And by the way, as your friend, longtime friend, I'm proud, because you've put a lot of fucking words down.
Without stopping. Man. Yeah, I have. And I wrote some over the weekend, and that made me feel a lot better. And yeah, Yeah, I'm feeling all right. I'm honestly not trying to steer this anyway. But yeah, I've been back in another horrible rut in my life, but I can see light. I can see light, and it's gonna help me. I'm not promising anything. I'm the worst promiser.
Dust on the Throne's back, ladies and gentlemen. Daily live streams.
Honestly, I do.
Yes. Who would name their fucking channel Daily anything
if they're not gonna even do it weekly?
Right.
But yeah, so you know, I'm seeing light again. But yeah, this is cool to rehash all this stuff. And just one more thing. While it's on my mind, I believe that my proudest YouTube creation or anything that I took part in that, you know, for me feels like it's the thing that you point to when you meet somebody and you say you have, you know, you do YouTube is Dragon Raised by Wolves.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you. That's a highlight for me, a real highlight, to be able to tell somebody, you know, I'm part of a YouTube series that's out there in the ether that, you know, has a few million views. You know, you add them all up, I mean, it's what, 4 or 5 million views,
and then
3 million
that
views.
Same series gets taken, put on Reddit, and somebody gets credit for it. I'm sorry, I don't want to go negative, but that's what happened. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And then it makes all these major publications online, and it's like, come on, man.
And it really puts your guys' stamp on the series, the Game of Thrones series, because you didn't know it at the time, but the way that people were unhappy with how the series ended.
Yeah.
Your guys' version, what you came up with, was kind of looked at as like it should have been this.
I hope so. I think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
honestly, in my mind, it was too. Yes. I was kind of thinking, you know, we don't know how this is going to end. I know they're going to do something amazing with it, but whatever awesome ending they come up with, ours is still damn good. And then you end, and you're like, ours was fucking better.
Right. Way better.
I
do still think, honestly, book stuff, it'll be a lot more important. Like the, you know, we talk about the Isle of Face and all that kind of stuff. That was the main gist of it. But it's still going to end the same way as far as the character and stuff. So who knows? But anyway.
Those nights, though, of us staying up wee hours of the morning, looking at maps, looking at all the books all spread out and pulling shit from everything. I mean, there was a lot of work put in that. And I mean, obviously, Chris, you know, he gets most of the credit there. But I was there and, you know, watched it evolve. And there were a couple things that I would pull from his brain, you know, which has always been my specialty. I don't know if anybody notices that, but yeah.
I've said that many times. That's why this podcast, I think, is a good podcast. It's a natural conversation. I'm better in this kind of environment where we talk, have a conversation, as opposed to I did a lot of videos, like 500 something videos, obviously on my own, but it's not the same as
bouncing.
Yep, yes,
I agree.
Exactly.
And it's where you shine. And even those days, though, of the research and all that, you know, you can see when somebody's excited about something. Mm-hmm. And to watch him light up like that. And I mean, honestly, we could have drug it out. We could have made that a 20-part series of short videos.
Right.
Yeah, but probably the smarter thing to do.
Yeah, looking back, maybe.
You know, for algorithm's sake. That's what sucks about the YouTube thing. It's just you have to think about that kind of shit at the same time. So it blocks a creative person.
I know he doesn't look back on it like this, but to me, Dragon Raised by Wolves Part 1, that's his editing that's blown me away the most. That little Funko Pop, Night King marching on that map and all that stuff. I know he probably thinks, oh, that's the most basic stuff now. But looking back to then, helped tell that story.
The footsteps were cute.
Yeah. It helped tell that story so much. It was just so well put together. And just being a part of that and being a part of all the Q&As that went along with that and all. I mean, that was really a highlight for me. And I couldn't have this kind of podcast and not talk about that.
Right. You know? And that became a whole nother thing along with Area Worrying. It was The Dragon Raised by Wolves.
It really did.
Parts one through four.
And
had to change.
And then had to change it. Right. Yeah.
We got parts the shirt. One four. I wore my shirt the other week on Twitch, so I don't think and I took it to.
He had the shirts changed.
Yeah, he actually had the shirts changed. We was I one thought through it was four, the most
classic thing.
And it was like, we got to do. We had, because what was a follow-up?
The ink had dried, you know? Yeah. He had shirts made.
I had found a bunch more evidence, is what it was.
Yeah.
And we was like, we have to add this. I mean, this is supporting it. I mean, 100%. And then he would get new shirts.
Yeah, and you guys even talked about doing a couple more parts, and I said, "Don't you dare do any more parts." Yeah, I said, "I'm not going to keep making shirts every time you guys decide to make a new dragon."
So we got a couple new shirts every time we added another.
Hey man, our shirts are getting wore out. You think we should make another part?
Exactly, free clothes.
So, but,
oh Lord.
But yeah, thinking back now, when like we're really kind of. In that moment, I don't want to put any kind of damper on this, but in those days, you could not have told me that Smokescreen Channel wouldn't have a play button. I thought it was just a given. It was we just needed time, and that next season to come out.
Oh
and,
yeah,
you know, I mean, when that came out, and you know, it didn't happen.
I remember before season seven, people were saying, "Oh God, this year you got it easy."
I would have bet my life on it. Right. I mean, I would have, and that's a big bet. But
yes.
The way it was going, you know. And then there was that one time when everybody was upset because they changed everything, and it just kind of messed everything up. And I don't know if they call it Black Friday or whatever the hell happened. But I was like, they need to quit messing with this. That's what I kept thinking in my mind, you know. Obviously, you think, well, no, they can't do anything that's going to really hurt these. The creators bring money to them. But it did. Every change they make really affects people, especially the people who are, you know, are on the cusp of doing something. It sets them back way further than it does the established channels.
Absolutely, you know. Yeah. They lose the same percentage, I guess.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. They can still pay bills and still go forward. Yeah. And whatever. That's one thing that bums me. But anyway, sorry.
But yeah, I didn't mean to bring that up, but I'm just saying I would have bet my life on it because those days were, wow.
Well, damn, I mean, when you see, you know, you click up to 84,000 subscribers and, you know, you're so close yet so far, I mean, who wouldn't think that?
You can look at the graph.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean,
the trajectory was there.
It's going to get there. It's just going to be a matter of this season or next. That was kind of the thought.
That was it.
You know, and then, but anyway.
So go ahead, Doc. Sorry.
Okay, so going back, we've talked about the early videos and James joining the channel and stuff like that and doing the Q&As. The next thing I wanted to talk to you guys about was Con of Thrones.
Yeah.
Just relating it back to me as a viewer, I'd watched your videos, liked your videos, liked your and James's interaction, and then they announced that they're doing this Con of Thrones in Nashville.
Right.
And I was like, well, okay, this is really cool because they're actually going to do a whole convention based on this show that I'm really interested in. Plus, these two guys that I started watching and following... and really enjoy their content and stuff, they're going to be there. So I thought, well, this is cool. I'll go and check it out and see what it's all about. And I've told both of you all this, and James and I were just talking about this the other day. I'll never forget that day when I walked into the marketplace where all the vendors are set up, and I see your guys' booth there, and I see you sitting behind your laptop. And I see James standing there in his tie-dye short. you're not hard to miss.
I know, dude.
I think we're the two tallest people there in the whole fucking building.
I was shocked by that. Yep. Right.
I think people were surprised how tall we were.
Right.
Especially you.
Right. And then I was also surprised because Val was there from Because Geek as well.
Right.
I was surprised at how small she was.
Yes. Yes, I was too, you know.
Val, if you're watching this.
When she came walking through the door, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, so that was a real surreal moment for me. And obviously it must have been for you guys, and I wanted to get your guys' perspective on it.
It was really, really crazy to me. When they announced the con, it was a different group running it the first year, and it was like, it was kind of the first of its kind, because, I mean, I guess, not in the sense of conventions itself, but Game of Thrones or Ice and Fire. Because, you know, you had comic cons and stuff like that where they have the Game of Thrones room or day or panel or whatever the fuck it is. But this was all the show. I was like, oh, this is my specialty. We got to go. And I found out originally that, you know, they invited these actors and stuff like that. And the guy who was running it didn't think to invite YouTube people. That was kind of, it was kind of a, obviously growing at that point, you know, getting a pretty big following for all the channels. And then, because he thought, from my understanding, because he actually came to our house for 2 days and hung mm-hmm. out, you know, because we all stayed in the house together. And he came and hung out, and he thought at first that, you know, he would have to pay everybody. It was like, and then somebody had told him, no, it's promotion for them. Right. They'll come do the panels. And so you want all these experts and plus the actors and stuff. And that's, you know, from his perspective, he's like, oh, yeah. So then he started inviting us, and we got all these panels set up, and they started emailing everybody, all the different creators and stuff, and do you want to be a part of this panel, and send us your picture and your bio? And I'm like, well, that's crazy to me. But then to get there and to have strangers coming up, even though, you know, we had this audience, and it's a virtual thing until in person. And then the first day, remember this, James, God, we had a booth, like you said. We had been registered the day before. Me and him walked through the thing empty.
Yep.
Took some pictures and, like, here's where we're going to be, and try to get a feel for the place.
Yep.
We go down to that same area. It's like the back parking lot area where you can, it's like where they load trucks in this convention center. That's where the booth was. I got a booth. I paid for the booth. The security guards would not let us in.
Now, we had promised we were bringing Sundrop and Cheerwine,
I mean,
and all this stuff.
He had a fucking cooler on his head, on his shoulder.
We
had to
walk. Couldn't come in the close way.
Couldn't come in to like literally 10 feet from the booth to unload. That was going to be our home base. And me and Val had a 9:30 panel.
Yes.
I think it was 9:30.
I remember that. That was
so
stressful.
So we are denied access. We have to walk around the entire, and if you know the Gaylord
Opryland in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, my God. We walked that whole thing. We're sweating. We'd never been to a con. Val or I had not been to a con or on a panel anywhere. James is carrying his giant cooler Sundrop. And we're walking around this whole thing, come in the hotel side, have to find our way through to the booth. We have to run to this panel. We come in 15 minutes late. The first panel ever. We're like, oh, my God. I didn't have time to be nervous.
Right.
I did not have time to be nervous. We went up there, and I fucking... Hey, how's everybody doing? It was with a girl named, I think, Jacqueline. And me and Val walked in. Come on in. We got started. And, you know, we sat down. Didn't have time to be nervous. I was nervous after. Like, what just happened? But we went through the whole panel. I remember it was like Tyrion or something about Tyrion. And people come up after this thing and ask me to sign things.
Yes.
And take pictures. And I'm like, I didn't write the book that you want me to sign.
Right.
You want me to sign your World of Ice and Fire book.
Right.
Yep. You want me to mess that book up, this coffee, beautiful coffee table book. And it was just crazy, and all these pictures shit. And that's when I was just going back to what the guy who was running it and his team realized that he had two things going on at once the next time.
Right.
You had a YouTuber's con or podcasters, YouTubers, whatever, and then you had a couple actors.
Right.
That was what it became.
Right.
So it was really surreal because I remember, because all of that with like meeting all you guys, it was really cool. But the walking through the building to go to the bathroom or a panel or something, I remember I was by myself, so I don't remember where I was going. For a lady to just come running at me and then throw the shit in her husband's chest that she was carrying. Oh, smoke screen, take a picture. And I was like, oh, hey, how are you? And then he's like, you know, that's just weird.
Yeah, that's
I'm not
exactly.
trying to. It was just a surreal experience. It's cool, but at the same time, it's weird.
Right.
It is because you know we are kind of as advertised. We are just normal southern dudes, and when you and Val were at that panel, I mean, like I still just remember it so well that. Oh my God, James!
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing at the booth, and this girl comes running across to me, like, leaves a dude back there, right? So she comes up and hugs me. Oh, can I have a hug? She did ask. Can I have a hug? Yeah, of course. And I hug her. And then she asks for a picture. The guy comes up and is like, who the hell are you? Yeah. I'm like,
you're not on the show.
I'm just a dude, man. I'm a sidekick on this YouTube channel. And he was like, she saw your ass from across this whole convention center and let go of my hand and ran over to you. And so there was moments like that. Right. And like you said, signing an autograph, you know, and I was just in another world. And then all of a sudden it's like meeting Tony Teflon.
Yeah.
You know, meeting. I remember when I finally got to go watch a panel and going through the halls and a lot of people recognize me and stuff. And then this guy comes up, this wild man, and he's like, what's up, man? And I'm like, you know who I am? He's like, yeah, obviously you don't know who I am. And it was, Sir Hunt's Reviews, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I walked into, when you guys were doing the trivia, and I walked in and this chick in the costume jumps up from her table. She was doing the trivia too. And is like, James, oh my God. And she runs over there to me and she's like, can I get a picture? And I said, yeah. And as she's got her arm around me, she says, I am geeking out right now.
Yes. I heard that.
Dude,
yes.
I mean, that just made my whole, you know, it made it all worthwhile that I really, because I've said it a million times, I'm his sidekick, and he's like, you're more than a sidekick.
Yeah,
and all this
stuff. I was going to say that, and, actually.
You know, it's like, he's right. I mean, these people dig me, man. And and it's just, first off, I have to give credit where credit's due. I mean, I still remember coming to you and saying, hey, did you see that comment where that guy's offering us a house if we go?
Yeah.
And it was Will, and Chris reached out to him, and Will puts us in his house. Not far from the convention center and everything. And then, like, he literally said, you know, if you can just get me a sun drop can with autographed sun drop can, and any YouTubers that come to that house, just be sure they autograph it.
That's all he wanted.
He knew it would probably be like a little gathering spot. And it ended up being.
It ended up being, yep.
So he ended up getting this. If any of us would ever blew up, you know, he's got this amazing sun drop can that has about probably 20 YouTubers.
Yeah, he's got us. He's got Val from Because Geek. He's got Teflon. He's got Aziz and Roars, History of Westeros. Roar. I mean, he's got everybody on that can. That's all he wanted.
Yeah,
it was the coolest shit ever to have people reaching out to you like that. Like, yeah, you can stay here. How much? No, I mean, you can stay here.
Yeah,
we just book it. He's like, don't worry about it. I rent places. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and all I've got's a sun drop can with your two signatures on it. So I've only got two, so
yeah. And we, hey man, the sun drop thing though, man, that became
those hand jobs meant nothing to you.
Oh Jesus! But sun drop became a thing, and people said they should sponsor you, and they don't know. I don't know if everybody knows. We applied, twice.
He's tried, man, and
they will.
I hate that. It's like whoever's over it don't get it.
Mm-mm.
They really don't get it.
It's an older person.
They might think that he's a Southern boy. He's got him a little YouTube channel. And
he does this YouTube stuff.
You know, but he doesn't realize that it's a thing. Like, people from around the world know their beverage because of you.
That would have been the best dollar they ever spent in advertising. It would have been. On YouTube, I'm telling you. And because in those days, it was popping.
Yeah, and we've let a lot of people taste test it.
Yes.
And, you know, whether they like it or not, it's just a cool thing to
me. Yeah, it just kind of happened.
It became something.
But that's what I was going to say about the sidekick thing. He'd always say I'm his sidekick. And I'm like, I felt bad about it. It made me feel horrible.
But Robin,
he was like you know? He was like, I'm the Robin to your Batman. Yeah. I like it. I think it's cool. I'm like, okay. It still kind of made me feel bad for a while. But anyway.
Right.
We actually talked about that before.
So a question that goes along with Con of Thrones, Natalie Sanchez. Sleepy Lurky Natalie. She asked, what was the best and worst things about conventions. Now, we obviously talked about some of the best things.
Yeah.
I think we got a lot of the best things out of the way that you guys hit on, but what was some of the what was some of
the worst? I'll go ahead. I've already got this in my head. I'm sorry. Okay. It was so, like, I only had six panels over 3 days, but it's so hectic. You can't really, like, I couldn't be a fan. I wanted to have, like, I met Tony Teflon. I saw him in a room before a panel I was going into. I'd seen him, like, at a distance before that, but I wanted to meet this dude. And I see him, like, talking to, I think, Aziz or whatever, because we had a panel with me and Aziz and, I want to say, Rarist and Val. And he was in that room already, and I got to, you know, go up there and meet him real quick. But everything else was just, like, even though you had an hour or so between a panel, you, like, had to eat real quick or whatever. And then, like, we had a booth, and we were trying to – the idea at the beginning was, like, you know, we could sell shirts or whatever, mm-hmm. but we just kind of wanted a home base. But the idea was we had monitors, right, in the computer. That's why I had my laptop. So we had, like, a subscriber count, because nobody had ever – I don't think a YouTube channel ever had a booth, because everybody else is selling things.
Right.
We were the only ones. Yeah,
that,
we had a monitor there so you could see a live subscriber count as it goes, you know, still going up at the time. And then we're going to play loops of just old videos, just promoting the channel.
Because we thought it would be cool if people walked up who didn't know us.
Right.
And we gave them our little handouts and stuff. If they subscribed, they could literally stand there and see the number tick up.
Yes.
You know, I thought that.
And so it was the whole. And then turns out I had this old computer and left the power fucking AC adapter at home.
After he paid so much money for internet.
I paid $700 for the booth and $150,
I think. It was a lot extra. Big percentage extra.
To get the internet cut on, a wire ran. We basically just had to come plug a wire in for that booth, and it lasted for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So the rest of the time, it was just like a black monitor sitting there.
Yeah.
And nobody, it was just home base. So, yeah, we had these cards and all that kind of stuff, and that was the plan, but that didn't quite work out. But.
For me, and I don't know, I've never really said this out loud, but as somebody who really didn't have as much skin in the game, right? Because, you know, there were some big players in that world. And I hear, because I went to first two, but I didn't go to the third one. But I hear in the third one, what I'm getting ready to say kind of reared its head. For me, there is a community there among creators, but you can almost feel a clickiness or something that kind of feels awkward sometimes in certain situations. In some situations, it feels really cool. And then others, you almost feel like there's, you know, kind of like ventriloquist as you're walking up, you know, oh, here he comes, you know what I mean? You know, right. And the problem is I think it stems from, in this community, there are so many fans, right? And people have overlapping fans.
Right.
And the way you make your living a lot of times, more than views anymore, is those fans contributing to you in a Patreon capacity, right, or something like that, super chats and stuff when you do a live stream. And I wonder if there's just like a weird, when somebody sees somebody talking to, well, that's kind of my, you know,
my subscriber.
Yeah, that's my subscriber or something. And so they almost kind of corral everybody, and they want to create these little cliques and always inviting people to, you know, different things and stuff. And so you don't get as much time to spend with those viewers who, to me, that's the cooler part of it is this. When I said earlier that when we would click on those live streams, and I'm like, oh, there's our family. Right.
Right.
I was dying to meet those people. And sometimes you feel like they're almost corralled from you. And I'm not saying it's intentional or whatever, but there did feel like little clicks or something that just felt awkward. I have met some genuine people, and they all probably are nice to awesome people to a degree, but I just can't let, you know, money like that or anything like that get in the way of me. I genuinely liked all those people, right. And I would walk up to some, and some would be so open, some would be standoffish, and then some you never got a chance to say anything to again.
Right.
Like I said, you try to approach, and it's almost like when you run into that, you see that high school person at Walmart, and you kind of don't want them to see you, because you know, so you kind of turn. I felt that sometimes, like, oh God, because I could be spotted from across right. the room with that tie-dyed shirt, like you said.
Right.
And sometimes I felt like they didn't want me to approach, and I could right. almost feel like.
And I can definitely speak for my part, if I was to answer this question, I totally agree with you. My experience as a fan was the thing I liked best was the community and yeah. and meeting new people from the community.
Yeah.
Right. You know, being able to be at a couple cons with Carol Brown and stuff like that, meeting her at the first one, and then throughout the years her being there,
yep.
Being able to meet Dee Brown in Dallas in person and hang out with some of those, and I'm sure there's other ones I'm forgetting at the time.
Yeah, it goes beyond the channel. The channel's just a watering hole.
Right,
that's you know, right.
It's, right,
it's all.
And the negative part was, just like you said, but from a fan's perspective, trying to have a conversation with a creator, a YouTuber or something like that, many were great. Many were awesome and really engaging and were willing to talk to you. And others, it looked like they were looking over your shoulder to find somebody more important to talk to.
Right.
That's cool to get your take on that.
Before you even got into a conversation, you almost felt like you were inconveniencing them coming up and saying something.
And you had probably waited and kind of almost while they were talking to somebody else, you already waited a little bit of time. Right. So when you got there, you expected a little time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it. So that was a weird dynamic.
And I'll say, too.
Because you don't like to be let down by somebody you admire.
Right.
You don't want to see behind the curtain if they're going to be kind of weird like that.
Yeah.
And that's what really cemented my liking you guys and, like, Val, for instance.
Yes.
Because, you know, the first con met you guys, it was just like you guys were on camera. You know, totally genuine, totally real. Val was, you know, she was recording stuff for, you know, her great vlog video, best vlog video she ever made.
I love that. Love that video.
And I was really surprised. And I mean, she made a fan of me because she was like, hey, you want to get a picture, or hey, you want to record this little clip? And she ended up recording a clip and putting me in it.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Now you're definitely a fan.
Right. And so
could you not be?
Right. So after that whole experience of meeting you guys and being able to, you know, talk to you in person and meeting her and all that stuff, I mean, I was in, because I was a fan of the show, and now I'd found some people who were really cool to watch and were creating some great stuff and great content and were real people.
That's one thing I'll say is one thing we've talked about is because you don't think about that stuff till it's time to go to the real world and meet you guys at a con or whatever. Yeah. And I've always said, hey, what you see is what you get. And we pride ourselves on that kind of sort of. So in that situation like that down there at the booth area, especially that first day, there's people starting to crowd around, and I'm talking to like Doc Holliday over here or whatever. Then I'm starting to think, damn, these people are all like waiting, but I got to, you know, that's what I mean about I was saying before about the panels and stuff. It's like, shit, I want to talk to everybody, but I'm supposed to be on this fucking panel.
Right.
And so you start to feel that a little bit too. So I don't know, but yeah, we are exactly who we are.
Okay. So much so that, like, Doc can attest to it. He's been around me now. We've been to two Con of Thrones, two Protocons, and he has seen behind the curtain. I have told so many times on these panels, which kind of like I did in the beginning of this video, I am a nervous wreck sometimes. I am depressed a lot of times, I've shared with you guys. He's seen it. I am chronically like depressed, don't believe in myself and all this stuff, but he's like a real friend where he'll listen to you, give advice and all that. Like this, what happened in Nashville where he met us and said, hey, these are real dudes. The more he comes around, the more he sees. And we are real. We got problems. We've got, a bitchy side or,
there's been some rants. There's been a few rants about YouTube, especially for my part. That's,
Sure. Sometimes you get what you fucking wish for.
That's right.
But at the end of the day, you know, my heart is true. I never wanted to shortchange anybody on their experience. No matter how brief, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember it was the second Con of Thrones, I started feeling really spread thin. Like, really freaking, you know, I have to be on. You know, I have to be on this whole time. And there were times I would get, like, a little short of breath. And it can be overwhelming at times. And I don't know, man. I just, I tried hard. If there's anybody who has met me and felt shortchanged, trust me, you know, it was just a matter of circumstance. It wasn't like personal or anything like that. I would hate to think that ever happened, but I'm sure there's a chance. But the looking over your shoulder, hoping somebody kind of interrupts, please save me kind of thing. Yeah, I would hate if I ever gave anybody that feeling. Right. God forbid.
Yeah, I hope not. Now you got me thinking back. I don't think so, but it just... Yeah, it goes back to the overwhelming stuff, trying to run from here to there, and you're trying to eat, and then, you know, if I don't eat, I'll get lightheaded, and, you know, so you're always thinking, trying to think ahead, right, at the same time trying to be in the moment, talking to whoever's there. Right.
And then sometimes the hours are feel so limited, like it's such a good time that it goes so fast, right, and you're like,
especially
holy
the
shit.
More comfortable you get, like, because it's all new to you the first day, and then... Okay, next day it'd be a little better, but then, you know, so it, right. Then it's all of a sudden you're comfortable when it's over.
And I certainly tried to give people benefit of the doubt because...
I know you. Yeah, I know you
right,
would.
Because, you guys can certainly speak to this, especially the first one, you know, when you're actually interacting with real people, most of these people are just sitting in a room in front of a camera and not really having a lot of interaction with
That's
people.
That's right.
And
I factored that in a little bit.
I'm sure some of those people weren't as socially adept to being around large groups of people like that, and I'm sure it was overwhelming because it was kind of overwhelming for you guys to experience all that at once.
Yeah, so. I mean, I've never had an issue with crowds or whatever. I used to teach martial arts, you know, and all that stuff, and I guess public speaking in some ways, but it was still all new. It was like, and it was such a fast-paced thing. The first time, so it was. It don't matter how you know how you are socially, it's still was crazy. So I can imagine somebody that's really anxious about being in crowds or speaking in front of somebody. Damn, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
I would say.
And you got a bunch of strangers, you know, that know you.
Yeah, and then you feel like you don't want to let them down,
right?
Like you don't want to give a bad answer or something. Yeah, it's crazy. You know,
you're in a place where people. They have their expectations and they want to come up and they, and then you have to, you know, you owe it to the people who invest in you and like put you in this booth monetarily, you know, like there would be no booth without these people. So I need to be there at the booth, but I'm still a fan too. And I'd like to walk around and, probably I shouldn't have done any panels is what I shouldn't have done.
Right.
Put that extra pressure on myself. And, you know, I should have just stayed at the booth like I did the first year.
Right.
But I did want to experience the panels and I'm glad I did. But it kind of shortchanged because you don't think of some people can only come one day. And they might not be able to come the whole day of the one day they can come.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah. As far as a highlight, like, maybe the biggest highlight of any of the conventions was y'all, all of you guys, whoever was involved in that secret planning of my birthday party in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the car with me.
Right.
When I rode up.
Right.
And, like, I know I've said this before, but I'm known for wearing a tie-dyed shirt. Well, this day, I just happened to not. I happened to be wearing one of those black shirts that Doc had printed. And we're riding through this park, and it's a packed park. I mean, all the shelters are taken. And you can see all these people grilling and playing basketball. And then you look over in the distance, and there is a shelter of nothing but tie-dyed shirts. And it's surreal. It is surreal to get there and know that, well, I mean, because I kind of made us late and everything. I didn't know it was a big surprise happening, you know. So I was probably being a little bitch or something. Yeah. And then to get there and, like, half the people have eaten and, you know, they've been waiting all day and all this stuff. But I'll never forget that. I will never, ever forget that. That was one of the... One of the greatest moments.
We had secret conversations when you'd go to the bathroom or something during a podcast in those
days. That's crazy to know, dude.
And you know me, I had that one tie-dye shirt that I think you made, maybe Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And I had it packed up before I had to cancel and everything. But we had all that planned out.
I guess to follow up on that, Val from Because Geek actually posted a question.
Oh, Valu.
And I'm not sure if this is directed just at me, or I guess we can all talk about it.
Go ahead.
If someone went back to the past and told you you'd be a part of this community, what would you have thought?
Oh, the Game of Thrones communities, I guess what she means?
Yeah, or just
YouTuber
the,
community? I don't know.
The YouTube kind of smokescreen community?
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. I wouldn't have, because I... When you start, it looks impossible. You know what I mean?
Right.
It really does. You start and you have a couple views, and most of the time that's, hey, I started this channel. Will you go watch my video? And you know what I mean? That's that type of stuff. And then, so you're not thinking beyond next week. You know, like, because you're still working and all that stuff. It's a side thing and then whatever. But then when it's like, I don't know if there's a number. I don't think there's a number. I just think maybe there is a number. Like, you get 1,000. That's a pretty big number. But at the same time, you were super excited about 100.
Right.
So, you know, you don't think it's ever going to happen. But, like, when I started, I remember I reached out to a few people. Because when you start a channel, you start watching, like, how to grow on YouTube. And you start reading everything you can. I do, anyway. I mean, I try to absorb all this information, everything I do. And one of the big things, you got to collab. You got to collab. Collaboration, right? And it's still a big thing, obviously. But I reached out to a handful of people. Bar from BarTube, Val from Because Geek, and Alt-Shift-X, I think. And I think Tony Teflon. And the only two to respond were Bar and Val. And then Bar and I did a collaboration first. Then Val and I started chatting and did ours later. And then Alt-Shift-X, he responded months and months later, said, sorry, don't do collabs. I'm like, all right, cool. I mean, he was way bigger already. And then Teflon responded like 2 years later. He said, sorry, dude, I didn't see, never saw
him. I remember that. Yeah, I still remember that.
Tony responded. This is after I knew him.
Yeah, exactly.
Not before I met him at Con or anything, but it was just a long time.
But you felt like you knew him by this time.
By the time, exactly. So
I remember that.
But once you start doing that and then, you know, the growth starts happening, you're just kind of there one day. I don't know. Like, there's no day, but you know what I mean? You feel like, okay, now I'm part of... But I don't know. It's weird. It's like James said, there's still some clickiness or something. I've always been the same, thinking, why are we we're not competing?
Yeah.
I've never understood that on YouTube.
I'll be honest, too, as far as the community goes, you know, I'm sure not everybody has gone to church, and I don't know what a lot of different churches are like, but a lot of the churches I've gone to in my life, they'll have a moment where somebody stands up and says, hey, we need to pray for sister so-and-so's husband. He's going to have heart surgery or whatever. So many times behind the scenes when Chris and I are like moving furniture and stuff, it would be like, hey, let's not forget to say something about so-and-so, you know, something wrong with them or something. You know, it's almost like prayer requests or something weird because we are a community. Yeah. You have to at least acknowledge this and say, hey, hope you feel better or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. It's somebody's birthday. We got to sing happy birthday to them.
Yes.
You know, we really try to think about that. And, you know, I shared all my horrible things going on in my life. And then I'll never forget Carol Brown on that live stream that blew up.
Oh,
and she
God.
Was the only mod. Yeah, I mean, and insane. I'm thinking to myself, this thing is going 100 miles an hour. And I'm thinking, this is a person who has a full-time job. They are not getting paid. And they are in there, elbow deep in this stuff, trying to moderate this thing that was it was just crazy. It's like everybody or family. It's really weird. I never thought I would be a part of something like this.
Right.
People that I didn't know.
Yeah, from across the world, literally. Yeah. I mean, it was insane. We'd always hi from Denmark or hello from Australia. You know, it was crazy. But that first live stream during the season 7, because we built up the...
We did.
You know, I think we got up to 700-800 or
right.
something.
Right, we were like amped.
I was like, oh, shit, that's a lot of people in here. You know, is it... I mean, you don't... It's not any different from 10, except because actually it's just, you know, it's just a chat, you know.
Yeah.
They had no... Because I saw a few comments, and I saw later on, like, Carol and you and Mod saying they'll get... If they see it, they'll read it, trust me, read it. Because it was, they couldn't see our end. It was just a blur. Right. And I'd have to literally grab the chat and stop it with my mouth.
And then it was piling up behind it so much.
And then,
when we went, tried to go back live, now you're missing like 200 comments to get back crazy. Live.
But then all of a sudden, that first night, 4,000 or 5,000. What the fuck just happened? 100,000 views on a live stream.
And we trended. We trended.
I mean, not just live trending, but trending the first week. We live trended every week.
Yeah.
But the first week we made the trending page.
The only Game of Thrones video trending higher than us was HBO.
Yes. The first week. And that's when we were like, God damn, this is going to be a 100K channel.
Fast.
Like that. Mm-hmm. But
and
not sure,
you know, what happened. Whatever. Like I said, you know, nobody owns anything on there. Nobody owns time frames. Nobody owns anything.
No.
But, you know, it started getting, obviously people saw we made some noise, you know, going live. And then next thing you know, dude, it's live. And then you have overlapping lives. And we can only imagine that viewers are like torn between where they want to go. And we understand the struggle for the viewers too.
Yeah,
we
do. Know, and also, and speaking of that, because you know, people can do what they want.
Yeah,
but it's kind of a respect thing. Shout out to people like Teflon who, instead of going after the show, they did a pre-show, and he did that awesome thing. It was his idea. We did the stream that was promised.
That was one of my highlights too.
And that way, we got to switch off between all these streamers before season 7, I believe it was.
Yes,
and that was cool. But it was cool that people like that, like, you know, they said, "Well, fuck it, we'll do a pre-show." Build up and everything. Because, I mean, it was like the Super Bowl every fucking Sunday.
Yeah.
That was how big this thing was.
And on that stream that was promised, you know, we were sandwiched in there.
Yeah.
And we did a segment with Phil.
And Teflon. Yep.
I do have to say that maybe the absolute nicest person I have ever met at any of these cons that is, you know, a creator. Like I think he is one of the nice, he could be like a monk or a priest or something. He is just a nice, you never see him without a smile. He just throws off vibes of just being the coolest guy.
Right.
So I'll have to give him credit for that. And Tony's that was cool. My boy. I just love Tony Temple.
Yeah, that was cool, man. We got off, we hung out with Tony, and then that was the first time Tony was like, "Man, let me tell you when I figured you was the real deal." And he told me, he brought the Walking Dead video, remember?
Yeah.
And I had never thought, because it was the video for people that may not know.
That.
It blew up to like 470,000 views, but it had been demonetized after like one day. So I made $17 or $14, I think it was. And then Teflon, we get on there with him on the live stream on the first half of that segment. And he was like, "Dude, the way you broke this down, this, and this, I knew the real deal." And I had never heard that from anybody. Like,
I know. Another,
so it was cool to have somebody
that moment when he said
respected that. In the game tell you all that stuff. And then it was really cool. And then, you know, he's got roots down here in North Carolina. So, you know, he's one of the coolest dudes in the community as far as creators. And then we jump over with Phil. And we were like, it was so fucking cool. We had this old school talk show style.
Yeah.
Call in with a number and everything.
Yeah,
I was like,
the spinning wheel.
Yeah, we're on a real show right now. This is fucking cool, like, man. But yeah, so I mean, just wanted to mention that because a lot of people did jump on and do their own thing. And I'm not mad at anybody. That's fine. You know,
happened
in season eight too. And the only thing that bothered me about it was, especially season eight, was everybody knew that we did a charity stream for the final episode. And that was a big thing to me. My buddy,
yes,
Corey in Louisiana, his daughter had cancer and she survived it through St. Jude. And I was like, we're going to raise money for St. Jude.
Because we talked about a charity.
Yes.
And then he says that. And I'm like, yeah, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, the build-up through season seven, through all the live streams, we went from 4,000 to 6,000 to 8,000 people and all this shit. I remember asking him, like, all right, that night, okay, I need to set the goal because you had this little thing for it to show up on the screen going through St. Jude Play Live.
He's like, you think I should do 1,000?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't know. What do we put as a goal?
Yeah, because you don't want to not hit your goal.
Right.
And you don't want to put too much pressure on people.
Right. Because, I mean, you know, so I was like, how about 2?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do 2,000. Yep. I think we'll probably make 1,000. So we raised like $8,000. Right, in a live stream. And I thought that was the coolest
8,100.
Shit. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. We kept it open like another couple hours or whatever until the next day. But then that's the only thing that bothered me was the next year in season eight, everything had changed. There was a long, we call it the long night. You know, everybody remembers that. 2 years almost until the next season. And then everybody started live streaming. So you had some people going over here and going over there, which is fine. But it took away from that season 8, episode 6 live stream.
Yeah.
And we raised less money in the final season, which was really crazy. Now, I know it ended horribly. And the weeks building up to that, people were already kind of like,
Yes, that's right.
But, it, you know, in that sense, it really, it you know, it fucked St. Jude, honestly.
It did. Everybody jumped on and obviously everybody wanted to talk about it. We get it.
Yeah.
It was a shitty ending. You know, but yeah, there was just such a difference. It was
something
really
that changed
cool
a little bit before that anyway, the whole season.
Yeah.
It was really odd. YouTube has started to change something, obviously.
Sure as hell.
In the middle of, you know, the buildup. You can still see the buildup that was there, but it just never peaked like it did in season 7.
We've got to get your answer to Val's question, but just as far as that, that first live stream that blew up, what was it like on your end? Could you see us like deers in headlights?
For sure.
It blew
for
up sure. big time, didn't
yeah,
it?
I mean, it was out of the blue.
Yeah. It was shortly, I mean, this was shortly before I became a mod because there was really just Carol and Celine at that time.
Yeah, Celine was the OG.
Celine had taken that night off.
Exactly. She would come and go from time to time because she was mod for a lot of other channels. And it was just like,
and I heard stories from Carol later, you know, horror stories and she's trying to text Chris on his phone plus highlight messages.
Yeah.
Plus,
text me too.
Cause
don't miss this. And I'm like, how are you even?
Exactly.
Are you an octopus? You know, she's got three phones going and a mouse.
She's got a fucking, like, I'm picturing, you know, the 8 monitors, you know. Yeah. But
she
was
put
crazy.
That on her resume. That's an accomplishment. What she did.
She
that
told
night.
That story at Protocon last year. You know, that was one little panel. The only thing I request is you got to give me time to tell my story. So we were like, hell yeah.
Yeah, and it was quite a story. And it was really, that was one of the more fun things for me to watch as a fan and as a viewer was to see that growth, you know, and it culminate in that moment.
Yeah.
The build up to all that and to see you guys, and you guys were like so excited. We're on the trending page, you know.
Yeah, because that's what Carol texted. She was like, dude, you're trending.
You're
I'm
trending.
Like, live and trending, it
kept,
and
the
it was on
kept
there.
Shrinking.
Yes.
Oh, you're like 14. No, you're 7. And
yeah, and that's, you know, in those days, I think it stayed up for like 24 hours.
She's like, you're the number one live trending video. And I mean,
and that's YouTube. That's not like, you know, regional.
The world,
that's
man.
That's crazy. And then so I was just like, I was ecstatic because I thought, you know, goddamn, I made it in some way, you know, because this thing's like, it's going, if you're trending, you're going to get a million subscribers, right? No, I guess not.
Right. And you followed it up with, and I was going to definitely bring it up. It triggered the thought in my mind was the St. Jude stream. Cause that's something, that's a memory that I'll definitely have because we certainly, you know, we had talked about it after the fact, you know, the limit that you had set, you'd kind of shared with us after, after it was over with what you had, what you guys had thought and talked about before you guys started. And that was really cool to see just, you know, instant before you guys even got warmed up that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the goal we had been live 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was busted. The goal was like 150%. I'm like, what? I got up it? Up it? So I upped it like 4 or 5 times that night.
What is cool to me, too, is that, you know, we never had to carry anything like where there's any whispers of, well, how much did he really donate? Because he thought he had foresight and made it to where this doesn't even go through us.
I don't touch it.
It goes straight to them. Yeah. So everybody can rest and know that this is something that I actually sent somebody and they did what they said. Because everybody, you know, anytime you donate to any charity, you wonder.
You do.
The organizers are going to take some of it. Mm-hmm. And so that, man, that's one of my proudest moments. And, also, I was disappointed in them that they didn't say anything about it. And people were like, weren't people hashtagging them and stuff?
Well,
and
yeah, man. Oh, you're talking about like just other...
I'm talking about St. Jude's. They mentioned other people doing things because they'll do that. They'll say, hey, so-and-so did this.
Yeah,
that.
They're mostly Twitch is the problem.
Yeah.
You know, they're because we got that stuff sent because we made the top 20... and raised, but it's all Twitch people.
Yeah.
And so they never really recognized YouTube, so they wouldn't like retweet it or whatever.
That would have been cool if they would have acknowledged
it. The other thing that bothered me is, honestly, as far as like community and stuff was, there's two things. The bigger it got, the harder it was for us to be more personable with everybody. Because when you're sitting there with the 200 people in chat, you can keep up with that.
Trust me.
And you know everybody's name, everything. But then when it's zooming by, you couldn't. Number two, is when I did those streams, we announced and talked about it. No other creators retweeted it, hardly. None that I know of. None, no actual creators that I'm aware of, like, retweeted or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
come up, stop by here, except for one, which I'm not going to say any names, but it's not somebody that's not really respected that much. But out of the blue, this is the only person who's like, you know, YouTuber of the week right here for doing this, you know, and the link to this thing. It was like, him?
That's cool.
Of all people.
Yeah.
Of all my friends, because, I mean, I try to get on everybody. I try to stay out of drama. But nobody retweeted. It was like the last time in season 8. I was like, you know, we raised 8,000 something last year. We're going to hit 10 this year easy. And I'm going to tag everybody. I'm going to tag, like, Philip DeFranco. I'm going to tag Ninja. You know, all these big people and streamers and YouTubers. Not a fucking single one of them. I don't know if they saw it. I know they can't see everything. But not a fucking single one of those retweeted the thing. For charity.
I have to make a confession.
Uh-oh.
I swear. Do you remember when that was going on? Both of y'all probably do. And people were like hashtagging Ellen DeGeneres and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I was daydreaming sometimes during that. Because she had, like, she would bring somebody out if they made a viral video or something, you know? I daydreamed a little bit during that stream when I saw that happening over and over, that, like, us idiots walking on the Ellen DeGeneres show, you know what I mean? And basically telling the story you're asking right now. Well, how did this start? And I know we probably don't have, like, a 5-minute segment on there, but we get it out. And I was picturing us walking on there. That's really crazy. I've never told anybody that.
But, yeah, I mean, but... That was,
yeah, I know. To her, 8,100 is not a lot.
Oh,
but,
no, sure.
She probably wouldn't.
But that was my proudest moment by far, like you just said, as far as that. And, you know, 2 years of that in a row. And then, but it was, the disappointing part was the YouTube shit going on and it went down. It's like, mm-hmm. it's supposed to go this way. You know, we raised less money. And then, so that bothered
me.
I'm still proud of it.
I think it ended up being 60-something hundred. It was like 15 grand over 2 years. I'm proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So no proud. Doubt. Now, right. Oh, hold on. You still got to answer.
Okay.
About being part of this community. Did you ever, if you could look back in the past or however Val's thing said.
Right. If you would have told me.
Because you're a character in this world. I mean, you literally are.
Right.
Right.
If you would have told me that I would have stumbled across a video on a YouTube channel.
And ended up spending weekends in the mountains with them.
Yeah, and spend up spend you know, two different weeks on two different years hanging out with them in person.
Yeah,
And sitting here tonight in Chris's new studio doing a podcast.
Yeah,
never in a billion right. years would I have thought that. So.
It is crazy.
Yeah,
and people know you now,
right?
Like, yeah,
it's not. Hey, I'm Doc Holliday. Like, if you would go to any, a lot of people know
that's right.
you.
Right.
There's Doc Holliday.
Yeah,
because he's in every stream, every comment, every tweet, even Twitch. I mean, Twitch people know him.
I told him, you know, tonight when we were talking, I said, you know, I pictured you when I met you. I was shocked you didn't have facial hair.
Yeah,
but you know, now I know him. Like, I could run into him in a flea market and be like, "What the hell are you doing here?"
I don't know. Did you picture like a little skinny mustache and a cowboy hat?
I pictured him a lot like Doc Holliday. Yes,
because it made me think, oh, he's kind of must got to look
at
like
at least him. Have a mustache.
Yeah, he's definitely a cowboy.
Yes,
kind of are.
And there's so many great members of this community.
Oh yeah, man. I don't want to name anybody because I'll miss somebody and feel horrible.
Yeah,
right.
You know, but yes, there's so many.
Right.
And we tried. That was the thing. We try. It's not that we even try. It's just a natural thing. We want to know everybody, know everybody's names, and you know how it is. People can pop in when we do occasionally go live on Sunday still.
Yeah.
Oh, there's, you know, whoever. How you been? I remember all these little things about them, and all that kind of. Same on Twitch, even though it's a smaller thing. I mean, we did the Twitch thing for a little while and brought, you know, 150, 200 people over for a little while. But yeah, I mean, it was that type of thing. And so the bigger it gets, the harder it is for you. But we remember every fucking name, every username that we
and
ever.
And you get to talk to people that you know. And like I said, man, you're family, you know. You are a big part of the Smokescreen family in the YouTube community. Not just this channel. People from other channels know you.
Oh, yeah. And now we're trying to save the family. Our family's shrinking.
Okay, one question I guess that ties into that, as far as, you know, we're talking about friendship and things like that. Daydreamer on Discord had asked, when you two met for the first time, did you like each other right away, or did the friendship grow over time?
I hate his guts.
No, you did not. It grew over time.
Right.
No, yeah.
And if you can, just give a quick rundown. I know I've heard it, and several of the regulars have heard it, but just give
I'll tell the
rundown.
First part. You finish it.
Yeah.
I woke up. I had worked at Pizza Hut, and I had left to go work at a place in Charlotte. I go back in because I had left college to go, and before I went back and all this stuff. So anyways, this time period where I was working in Charlotte, you were at Pizza Hut.
And I had started after he left.
He had started after I left.
Yeah.
And he was driving this damn... We just said this earlier. He was driving this white kidnapper's van, and it literally said, you know, free candy. I'm sorry.
But there were no windows in it.
No, it was the typical white van.
Yes.
And, I had was visiting, I guess, Phil. I don't even remember exactly. I was just stopping by.
Yep.
Because
you would periodically.
I mean,
I knew who you were before you ever stopped by because they talked about you, you know? I mean, like.
Yeah, I was a
there's
legend.
That's another family, too. It used to be like.
Yeah, it was. You know? But no, yeah. So I stopped by there. He's there with his van, and it was I don't remember, a beat up or something was missing.
When I got that damn thing, it had a bungee cord on the grill, right? But I hid that. I thought I had it where nobody would notice. No. First thing he ever said to me was, "Hey, notice you grill's busted and your headlight bezels." And I'm like, "Gee, thanks." He's like, No.
So
I can fix it for you.
I said, "You need a new, I don't know, grill bumper, maybe some headlight bezels." You know, so
he was like, "Afford that?"
Oh, I said, "You can afford it."
He said, "You can, trust me."
So I sold him car parts.
Next thing I know, big cardboard boxes, shit. everything lined up and screws, unscrew this one, screw that back in, and it van looked good, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, it did. Help, so man. That was how we met, and then, you know, through mutual friends and my cousin and all that stuff, I guess you said you knew, I don't know if it was, I was the computer geek or something, I believe. And so and that then was...
he came back to Pizza Hut in Concord, right? In another town. And I came back there, and he was the assistant manager at the time, and I came back there, and then that's when we started, like, talking more. Right. And we would joke about, hey, remember when I sold you the grill, and it started, you know, like that. And then they used to all go see movies, and out of the blue, they invited me.
Midnight one movies.
We went to the very first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, the midnight premiere.
Yep.
And they were like giving out t-shirts and stuff and asking trivia questions before the...
Yeah, I had a guy in a Spidey suit down there throwing shit out at the crowd. And
from that moment on, we became like, the new movie coming out, man, you want to go? And I'm like, yeah. So it became a thing there. And then from that spawned a poker league.
It started as Guitar Hero.
Yeah,
Phase 10. I moved up here. I moved up here to Enidville. Come over. I got Guitar Hero, or Rock Band.
Yeah,
you got Rock Band, and we're up there. I'm up there screaming into the fucking microphone like an idiot, and he's playing guitar and somebody's drums.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it started that way, and then it was like, let's play some cards, and we end up with we played Phase 10, and
Uno.
And then
it turned into
poker.
Yep.
And then it's like, okay, we kind of like this poker thing. And then we got a table, like a fold out.
And then it just grew.
Because it started with a tabletop, you know, kind of like you have, but the octagon version.
Right.
Started with that with four people and then five. And then, oh shit, let's get a bigger table. And then he moved later on. We continued that until it grew to four. Well, for one night we had four tables.
Yeah.
Four full fucking tables. We had to start turning people away.
And I'm the stats guy. And I would like keep up with points and all these knockouts and all this stuff and have shit hanging on the wall that was updated every week and in frames.
We had,
I mean, it was in frames. It was nice.
I printed out certificates for winners every week. And then we had special events where you win bracelets. We were in this poker league for a long time.
Yep. It was the cheapest poker league you could go to and have the most fun.
Yes.
And it was... And we really cared about it. It was.
We did it right.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it right, and then we became rivals with another poker league at some point. So it got pretty big. But our first conversations though were Mike versus
Wilt Chamberlain. Yep.
He was like, we talked about bat. We were both sports nuts, and he is a Wilt Chamberlain dude, and I was a Jordan dude from birth. You know.
And I'd be like, he'd pack his shit back to the third row.
And so we argued about that back and forth for a long time. Eventually, I got him to convert.
Yeah.
But that's how it started.
I can remember
folding boxes in the back of Pizza Hut, you know, or whatever. And stuff like that, whatever. So,
back in the day at Pizza Hut, you know, we had the buffet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, after buffet would end during that dead part of the day, it wouldn't be many customers until it got dark.
You got 2:30 to 6, 7 before really anything's happened.
So we could hang out in the dining room, and you know how you fold up those triangular papers and play football?
Yeah.
We'd be out there doing that, smoking cigarettes and arguing about Jordan and Wilt. And I mean, it was crazy. I remember going to his house and his cousin's house and watching the, who was that? It was the Michael Vick versus, remember that national championship, Virginia Tech and
I don't remember.
Florida State and Virginia Tech in like 99 or something. They played for the national title and we watched it over there at his house and that broke out into a Risk game.
Oh, yes, Risk. That's right.
And so it took a while, you know, but from like 94 when I started at Pizza Hut to 99, it was slow. But then after 99, 2000, it's been, you know, fast friends. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much it. Selling them car parts. That's how it started.
We were friends with no kids and friends with kids.
Yes.
You know? Now our kids are grown.
Oh, God.
He brought his daughter over to my daughter's, 7th birthday? And so Camden would have been like 5 or something, 4 or 5, 6 birth. I can't remember, but they became friends.
Yeah,
you know, and as I pulled up today, you know,
they're still chatting,
FaceTiming, and turning the phone around. There's my daughter, you know, from Virginia.
Yep.
So yeah, it's been a cool thing.
Awesome. The only other question I have left is,
make it a good one.
Is from that salad.
Salad.
Salad from on Discord.
Oh.
Now this is kind of a big question, so we'll see where it goes. But knowing what you know now, would you do anything differently?
Mm-hmm. For YouTube?
Yeah. I think we're basically talking about this world right here. Obviously, that applies to a lot of stuff. You ask yourself that question.
Yeah, exactly.
On a lot of things.
If you're talking about YouTube like
growth, or anybody would know what I would do. So I'll just say mine real quick and you
go for it.
I would just focus and stay consistent more as far as YouTube goes.
Yeah. I would label everything spoilers. I mean, that's obviously what people wanted.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't actually do that. Right. I'm being facetious, but
a little bit, but
in that, a little bit.
No
exactly.
joke, man. If you might talk you into it if you didn't want to do it.
Yeah, that's fine if you want to do spoil. I have no problem with that at all. And a lot of people want to know because they can deal with not with being spoiled and still watch and enjoy it. To me, it was more of a pride thing because I did predictions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to. And
how fair is that?
Right. You know? So, I mean, I did prediction videos, so I can't do. And I wanted to base it off what I had read and the supposedly brilliant foreshadowing laid out in the first, you know, however many seasons. And so I completely refused them. And, you know, people financially, financially or YouTube wise, as far as that silver play button that should be hanging back here.
It would be
that's
there.
What it cost me.
It did.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. So from that aspect, you know, maybe I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if I would actually change that, but maybe something to that effect, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something more of a here's what's going to happen. I think I don't know, man. Because just from a pure growth standpoint,
it is disappointing to watch other channels and go, okay, we put all this time into this.
Right.
And then these people basically get these leaked things,
right.
scripts and whatnot. How much work is that? I mean, we tried so hard, and all they're doing is saying, I've got the secret. Do you want to hear it?
Yep.
Boom.
Yep.
And this.
And that's, again, it's fine. It's a personal
choice.
It's
a strategy. Yeah.
It is a strategy.
A different strategy, of course.
But, I mean, you can't do that and predict things.
Right.
You can't.
You just can't.
Right.
Even if you think it's fake, because a lot of them were. But the point is I wanted to see how close I was on, and I got a lot of shit right. I got some shit wrong.
Yep.
Obviously, the main parts at the end was completely wrong for the show, but got a lot of shit right, and I prided myself off of that. That's kind of like going back to the live stream thing. We started doing it live because people thought, well, he could just read that and cut it out.
Yeah.
Cut out the part where he's looking it up.
Right.
So, yeah, from a YouTube growth standpoint, something to that effect or... I don't know. I don't know exactly
and,
how
and
I would do it.
Certainly there's stuff that you feel like you could do differently, but there's also the other side of so a lot of that's just out of your control. Like even today, you know, different genres and things on YouTube that just blow up out of the blue for no reason, it seems like.
Can't be predicted.
It just, you know, it's just kind of like lightning strikes. certain people, certain topics, certain
you're exactly right.
genres or groups of things.
And then some people, you know, there's some channels that were just doing their thing for a long time because they love that subject and they were just grinding along, kind of a side thing, and all of a sudden a show's coming on about it now. Well, then boom, they you know, they didn't know that show was going to be created, but they put themselves in that position. Witcher, for example, there was several channels that went over Witcher lore and stuff based off games because the game got so popular and made more books more popular. Then all of a sudden, Netflix is doing a TV show called The Witcher. Boom. You know, so they put themselves in those positions.
And some of it certainly to dumb luck. I mean,
sure, absolutely.
How many people get recommended to see your video? How many times does it get put in front of somebody who has no idea that you're out there?
That's right. And you know, that's what you're learning when you're doing YouTube with analytics. But now these days it don't make any sense. I'm not even going to try to explain it. But in those days you could kind of sort of control that to an extent. Obviously, not you can't expect a viral video,
right?
But you can expect a certain number of how well it's going to do based off what you could control, because you know what the algorithm's looking for. You thought,
and I'll just say this: people may think that Chris harps on stuff like YouTube's broken and talks about these things that are kind of behind the scenes that your average viewer, they don't care to know, like, algorithm and stuff like that.
Probably not.
But when somebody quits a job at Microsoft, making the kind of money that I know he was making, to do something, and then all of a sudden it changes.
Yeah, they changed the rules.
Right.
They changed the rules on you.
You can't blame that man for being, like, hyper-focused on those numbers and those things like that. So I can see how that might, people might go, oh, my God, it's just YouTube. You're just making videos in your room.
You just upload videos.
No. I mean, he had to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to time it. I remember he's like, I've been watching a lot of videos, and they say this is the jumping off point where you can think about it, And he was making his own trajectories and stuff about when, he could possibly do it and move into the full-time YouTuber. And imagine making that leap. You made this, you've gone to school and you've got all these, degrees, certificates, and all this on-the-job training, and you've built a career in IT to just leave that because, okay, I've kind of got this worked out the way this works. If I do this should happen, and I'm seeing this trend, and then it goes away, you can't blame him for bringing it up from time to time,
Yeah, I'm definitely salty about it, absolutely. Because, when you see live streams blow up and trend every single week, you think, okay, I'm going to get there, mm-hmm. And then, and the 100K thing, it's not just status. You get a direct line to YouTube. You get a person that represents you, and you can call or email. And it's not just like general, customer support where they send you some bullshit article link. So it's an important, and they don't really take you seriously till you're 100K. You're not really big to them until 100K.
Yeah.
And so, when I see these other channels that were inspired by not just me, but other people in the community, and they blow up, I'm happy for them. I really am. But for me not to was extremely disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it was so, you saw this, Mm-hmm. So anyway, it is what it is. We'll figure something out.
But one more thing I would do. I think I would invest more of my own money in production. I really, because I kind of took it like, if the content is, if what you're saying is good, these should be fine. I don't have to dress these up and make these look
nice. You don't.
But I could have cared a little bit more. I mean, if you look at some of those videos, and when I would stream from my bedroom and I looked like a silhouette, I could have tried harder, but I just thought, I'm gonna be saying shit that's entertaining enough,
Nah,
you owe the people your best. That's the kind of things I would do better. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I would like if I could go back tomorrow just to and reset everything and do, I wouldn't like do spoilers and stuff. I was just saying that kind of that principle of
do
it
you
or whatever. I don't know.
Milli Vanilli?
Oh yeah.
You remember the concept, right?
Right.
You get the pretty boys out front and the talent is in the back. I would talk him into finding some chick that could wear low cut, be the mouthpiece. He's the brains behind the operation. Get her out there making the videos. Be rich right now. No doubt about it.
Maybe.
No doubt about it. Steer that into an OnlyFans page.
Oh, my. Of course, that's what I went to.
What Dad would that be bottle. Like a virtual pimp or something?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. It's OnlyFans. Jeez. Oh, that's another podcast.
That's something I've just learned about recently.
Yeah, that's another old podcast.
I love bringing it up.
But nah, I don't know, man. I wouldn't change much. I just try to, because you mean, how do you really answer that? You know, because they change the rules right. on you. You can't predict that.
Right.
You can predict things are going to change, and they'll add some features,
mm-hmm.
but you can't predict that they're just going to literally flip a switch one day and, you know, and you're down 70%.
And I got to ask you this. Before you kind of got involved where, like, you would communicate with Chris behind the scenes, like, you know, did you notice, like, how hard he was working? Like, oh, this video, he's standing in front of his TV. This video,
oh,
he's
yeah.
got a green screen. Like, he literally, you know, to live with the guy, he would think
and the,
about...
And the cracker box we mentioned
earlier.
He would think
about every... he would think about the viewers and think, well, what do they like? And he tried hard to make everything better. Okay, if each video sets a new
yes.
bar,
right?
I'll never go backwards now. Yeah, once I get to here,
can't go backwards.
I'm
now.
Not going backwards, only forward. And he would talk to me. He's like, I'd walk in and I'd be like, "Oh shit, you're in here."
Yeah,
you know, he'd have the whole living room upside down. And I'm like, "Oh, sorry, dude." And I'd sit out on the porch while he finished doing his thing, you know, because he was trying a new angle and stuff. And
yeah, there so was a lot of that shit,
I've,
man.
I've watched him, you know, I know probably to the viewer it might be like, it's just, you know, trying a different corner. In the No, it's a lot of thought and camera placement and even looking at the how many times you look at the camera when you're talking and stuff like that. He did a lot of research and a lot of trial and error, and so I'd like to see him get rewarded with a play button because I've seen how hard he works. He may never, and I'm still proud of him. I still think if you get to 80, that's a hell of an accomplishment. I can't imagine. Think of that. I mean, there are football stadiums that don't hold 80,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And 80,000 people have taken the time to say, okay, I'll give this guy a shot. That's pretty something to be proud about, man.
Right.
It is. It's just that I'm a realist too, you know. It's like
he's
so
like,
close.
Why don't these 80,000 motherfuckers give me a quarter?
That's right. No. Well, you know, that's the thing. Stuff like that with, you know, you realize you couldn't. I mean, and well, during the game when it had grown and everything during the season, you could make a living off AdSense back then. But you know, you had off seasons, and I was doing other shows, and like I didn't do like the Patreon thing for 2 years or something because mm-hmm. I was like, yeah. No, that's like begging for money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and me and Val had talked about that years ago. Like, no, I'm not doing Patreon. That's like, I feel horrible, you know. And Ben, you got to.
Right.
So when I see people,
you feel vain too.
Yeah, you do.
Like if you put you on do. There, oh, if you give this much money, you can get a private phone call with me.
Yeah, like, it does. It's really, it's really weird. Yeah. It's really weird.
So it is weird, and it has adjustment you have to make.
Yeah,
you have to.
So
do
when you
it.
See people, hey, this video is sponsored by whatever, especially right now, don't fucking call them a sellout. They're right. trying to make a
trying
living.
Trying hard
because you right. cannot. So
right.
anyway. Yeah, so I completely get that now, you know, before yeah. where I resisted that for a long time.
Yeah. And it would certainly be different if, you know, back in the AdSense days when stuff was paid to you by the platform that you were posting it on.
Yes.
Versus to where now you have to have outside support.
Yes.
You know, just to make anything.
That's right.
It kind of pulled a 180 on how the whole system was.
It
was
does.
Set up.
And then you're now more dependent on Patreon. So, but YouTube ain't growing. So you're trying to say, you know, now it's like a more, because before it was like, I'm going to put out the video that I want to make and people seem to be enjoying it. Everything's fine. But I got to do what I enjoy. But now it's more like, if I put 12 hours into this, I'm going to make $7. Is it worth it?
Right.
You know, it's just really sad, honestly, the whole thing.
Yeah.
It is. But we've talked about some good times.
Oh, and, yes. Oh, absolutely.
And I believe, you know, that there's more to be had. I really do.
Hope so. Hope so.
And
We're hoping this podcast does good.
Yeah.
We love the podcast.
Even with this podcast, I'll be honest with you.
I could do it every day.
If you get, say, a video that has 100 likes and zero or maybe one dislike, in my mind, I can't help but think with that kind of ratio, because there are a lot of assholes in the world that just give you a thumbs down, right. But you're not getting them. You know, we're not getting them. And so I have to believe that if at some point we hit the right topic at the right time and get in front of the right number of people, somehow work our way into that magic algorithm, with that kind of ratio, I think we do have something here, because we always have good comments.
Sorry, Rick's over there scratching.
we always have really good comments, even when we do stuff that, you know, like we've mentioned before, people get mad at us about like Bob Lazar and stuff like that. Even with those mixed in, our ratios are incredible. I really believe if we can get in front of the right number of people, plus we're in a field, we're in a thing right now where like everybody from 12-year-olds to 70-year-olds have podcasts, and there are new ones created every day. So you want to talk about a saturated market.
Right.
I'm proud of what we've done so far through 41 episodes, the growth we've seen. And yes, we got a jump start by doing it on this channel. No doubt about it.
Yeah, but it's doing well on the other platforms.
Yeah.
On the actual podcast platforms. Yeah. It's doing better than YouTube, actually, as far as views or plays.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm tickled, and this was a big part. Like where you said I'm the first guest in this here, I mean, as you can see, because you got to see both places, you can see, you know, this is a breath of fresh air, you know? Yeah, it really is.
Still a fucking mess in here, but it's getting there.
Right.
It's certainly better than the old cracker box moving tables around.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I'll miss that old table.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
And we've talked about it. You know, there's some good memories there.
Mm-hmm.
Even outside of the YouTube thing, you know, I mean, these are things that I hate now that I've moved away, you know, and I think I told Doc on the way to or from Cherokee, I was like, you know, not having somebody to scream for. You know, when you have those are good memories when I'm like, help, help, right? He think he's screaming or something in there.
And I'm like, what the hell? I was like, what is that?
I had, you know, a freaking nightmare. My CPAP hose was strangling me, and there's a ghost in my room and stuff. And I mean, now, dude, that's probably why my sleep schedule's all upside down. I hate sleeping. I see the sun come up, I'm like, okay, cool. It's safer.
safer.
But yeah, we've had some good times. We've made some good meals over there at that house, and watched some good movies, and you know, played cool games and filmed skits and done everything you can imagine two bachelors could come up with.
Yeah, right.
And I look forward to, you know, this is like some. This makes me feel like some nostalgia video.
I know it does. And
yeah, really I look weird. Forward to really many more, you know, see where this goes.
Yeah, so please subscribe.
They know. People know we struggle with topics and stuff. And it's, I know that has to seem frustrating to people. They have to go, how can it be hard?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, it's weird. We do think that we could just come in here, sit down, and start talking. And it would be a good podcast. We really do. But it's a weird time right now. And when we get together, I guess because I don't live here, right?
Yeah,
I walk through the door and like I'm unloading everything. Right. You know, to whereas if I lived here, this is stuff we would have talked about through the day.
Right, right.
So I come in and you can't go from... fuck my job. I hate coronavirus. Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
All this stuff, you know?
Exactly.
To then, hey, you ready to talk about extraterrestrials?
It is. It's weird.
It is hard, man.
So that ends up transitioning to the next day or something. And then you feel like you're behind and all this shit.
And plus, we're friends. So it's like, sometimes I need him to be my friend and not my podcast partner.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like, literally, give me a couple hours of Chris, okay? Because I'm struggling here. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And if we're not healthy mentally, it'll come through.
Right.
You know? So there are times when that happens, and I get that it's frustrating. And I get, I'm kind of inserting questions for y'all, but I get that it's probably frustrating, like with this Game of Thrones thing that we haven't finished yet. Where we've done those
episodes. Asking for the,
And I see people asking, and so I get their frustration. But there's a part of me that don't want it to be over.
Yeah.
Because when it's over, when we say, okay, this is how it should have ended, boom.
That's it.
Why would we have, what reason will we have to go back and talk about it anymore? Because we've talked about how it did end. Now we've talked about how it should have ended. And I mean, I just, it's going to be sad when it's over. You know, so there are times when we've talked about doing it, and it's like, especially right away, because at the end there, when we did episode 4, I think, you know, we almost are at the wrapping up point.
Yeah, we may not have like 6. It may be 5 for us.
It could be one long one for 5.
Yeah, it could be.
And it's like, I don't, even in our fake world, I don't want it to end, because that has been the biggest part of this whole channel and what got us to where we're at now, which is why we were talking a lot about Game of Thrones earlier. You know?
Yeah, that's I'm still you know, I guess salty over that whole thing.
Me
you
too.
Know? I think a lot of people are. There's not,
I'm really pissed about
and,
it.
And that's why now I just don't, you know, I watch a few things when it's that season, but everything's been delayed again. It's like another long night for other couple shows that I do enjoy, but they're just never gonna be another God, you know?
I know.
That's part of it too. Just fucking sucks that it
just
died. Because there's no point. There's literally no point in ever talking about it again. There's just not.
Yeah.
You know, even the books. A lot of people said, do book stuff. No. It's the same thing.
Yeah. We need a new book. We need a new book. And then, if it hugs right with the show, you know, there's not a lot to get out of that. And nobody wants to be known for beating a dead horse to me.
Right, right.
And I almost hope that it's totally different, to be honest with you.
Right.
Won't be, but
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Otherwise, he gets sued for selling the wrong story.
I know. That's the thing. Exactly. You got to always take in consideration. Yeah. Like, he can't sell a different story.
No, he cannot. But I don't know. Is that was all our questions?
Yeah, that was it on that, as far as I can think of. But
dude, you've been a great host.
Yeah, man.
Well,
I'm not going to shit you, cool. Dude. You're like a natural.
Yeah, I felt like he was he owns the podcast.
I know. I think somebody, this is the first one catching
for somebody that's got the shitty mic and the glued together headphones.
You got a drill bit holding that all together.
I felt like, you know, we came on here. Thanks for having us, Doc.
Yeah, really.
We appreciate it. He is the actual producer. He owns half the room.
He does.
I mean, we own the table. So
that's funny, ain't it?
Well,
I
want to thank you guys for allowing me to do this. This has been really fun.
This has been fun.
It's been fun to kind of go back and kind of sum up everything and kind of revisit some stuff and some great memories and talk about some of the challenges too, but also looking forward to what you guys do.
Yeah,
in the
man. As I told both y'all know from my whole thing for me is just this new path, and I'm really looking forward to my book, but I don't know if that's a YouTube video or channel. I don't know.
Yeah. You never know.
I'm working on, you know, the second draft and all that good stuff, but it's just that purpose again. That's what's missing for me now. And Ice and Fire became my purpose, and then it didn't. I mean, it ended. So that's where we're at.
Yep. And I want to take this chance to thank everybody out there in the community who supports these guys as well.
Absolutely.
I know it means a lot to them. I know they say it, and they may feel like they don't say it enough, but I definitely want to thank everybody. It's a great community, and I've made some great friends.
Yes.
Here in this room and outside of this room.
Yeah.
It really means a lot to a lot of people. I know that.
Yeah, that's cool, man. This is what's cool about this whole thing. This is what I never envisioned. You know, like going back to the previous question.
Yeah, me either.
You just don't, you know, you start, you're sitting there, oh, I got a camera. I'm going to talk about this stupid movie or whatever, and you don't think about shit like this happening.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, two Southern dudes who have a damn Yankee come down here and run. I mean, maybe Midwestern, whatever you call it.
It's still a Yankee.
It's still way freaking north.
Running our podcast for us and, you know, helping us and becoming such a good friend. That in itself says a lot.
Yes, and the dude listened to both of us on different, probably separate occasions, rant. You know, I can call him up after a Twitch stream or, you know, whatever in the middle of the night. Hey, man, you got a minute? You taking your nap yet? No, I'm here.
I know.
Fuck you too.
But yeah, it's been a great ride to be able to share a small part of it with you guys has been beyond anything that I can express.
Yeah, we need to remember this one, okay? As this grows.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
At some
point, even if it never really, really, really grows, but we continue doing it because we just like doing it, have you back on, you know, again.
Yes.
In a year or so and see what happens. See if...
Yeah, we can revisit.
Yeah.
We'll see where we're at.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Remember the time when I came down?
Maybe...
Okay, let's see where you've gone and what you've done and see if you've...
Maybe we've figured out the right...
those things you said you weren't proud of.
Yeah. Maybe we've figured out the right format. Maybe I've figured out my path again. I don't know. Maybe James got a new... Who knows, man? We'll see what happens. But either way, we'll keep grinding.
Yeah, because the dream is this. I mean, honestly, and it's not hard to achieve. But the dream is, sit down here, and go, "What's going on, man?"
Yeah,
and that sparks. Who knows what?
Right,
exactly.
That's easier than planning it. You know,
yes.
What are we going to do this week? What are we going to do this week?
Is there a new documentary?
Yeah.
Did you watch this?
So, it, you know.
Being dependent on other people in some way.
Obviously, those things help.
Like, sure.
If there's a hot, say, Tiger King or the Bob Lazar blew up on Rogan or whatever, obviously those help. But it is cool because if you trust us at all, because we put out halfway decent content, and you trust our judgment, you have to trust that. As many times as we told you guys, some of the best things we've ever talked about have not been recorded.
Yeah.
You have to trust that sometimes our bullshit sessions are gold. That's what we need to get for you. If we could ever get that to you. We've come close. I think we've had some great ones. Tonight, it goes down. Tonight's been a really good, it felt like a real natural
hanging
out.
Yeah.
Kind of like you said your dream was. Campfire without the fire, you know.
Yeah,
this
kind of
feels like that.
Exactly.
Has that kind of view.
That was feeling. This is. It feels like the original goal.
Yep,
the original.
Does. Tonight's a good night. It kind of invigorates me to, you know, look forward to doing more of these.
Yep, I agree, 100%. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
I guess if we're done, should we let Doc do the honors?
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Do it. Do it, Doc.
We'll let it fade to black.
There he goes. Perfect.
He's fucking...